Okay, good evening. Let me get the door. Still looking for requests, so I got a few. Any more requests, we happily will look into. For this week, I'm thinking this week's parsha has a whole bunch of mitzvahs, more mitzvahs than we find anywhere else. Maybe instead of focusing on any one of those mitzvahs, it's an appropriate time to look at the topic of what happens when you have too many mitzvahs. So, osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. If you're involved in one mitzvah, so the Gemara tells us in a couple of places that one is exempt from other mitzvahs. We find a discussion about this, the Gemara has in Masachas Brachas, and Daf Yud Aleph, where the Gemara darshans psukim in Kriya Shema, b'shiftecha b'veisecha, b'lechtecha b'aderech, b'shevas didach u'd'machayavas, mitzvah p'tiris, a person is sitting at home in his house, so then he's obligated in mitzvahs, b'leches didach, if he's walking on his own path, a path shel rishus, he's doing his own thing, that's when he's obligated in mitzvahs. But if he's involved in a mitzvah, so then he's exempt from other mitzvahs. And in that context, the Gemara tells us this din of chasan, which we'll come back to, where the Gemara says that a chasan is patur from Kriya Shema Laila Rishona because of the mitzvah that he is going to do, which he hasn't really done yet. And then the Gemara explains that it's actually the distraction from the impending mitzvah and from the complicated mitzvah that he has that patters him. It's the tirda. And the Gemara raises the question, well, if we're saying that it's tirda that patters you, so then let's also say that somebody who's got a big business crisis, tavas finasal b'yam, his boat full of merchandise is sinking in the ocean, then he should also be exempt. So that would not be the case. And we also find that an avel is chayiv in mitzvahs in general, even though an avel is certainly in a distracted state of mind. So the Gemara says, you're right, tirda by itself doesn't pater, it's tirda the mitzvah that paters, and that's got some relationship to this din of osu mitzvah, which we'll talk about a little bit. And the Gemara restates this din in Maseches Sukkah, where the Mishnah tells us that shluchei mitzvah p'turim min ha-sukkah, and whether that's redundant or not, we already have this din of osek mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. So the Pnei Yehoshua has a comment over there where he gives a couple of reasons why we need each discussion, why we need it in the context of Korban Pesach, even though it's got a kares if you mevatel it, why we need it in the context of Kriya Shema, and why we need it also in the context of Sukkah, because Sukkah, you might think that it's not a standard mitzvah saseh, it's a mitzvah saseh that's constant over Sukkah, and it's also a mitzvah saseh which, if one is mevatel, it has a quasi-isser kind of status to eat outside of a Sukkah. So for whatever reason, we need an additional source in the context of Sukkah to make this point that it's true there also. Okay, so we have this principle that osik the mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. It's a very reasonable then. Yes, sir?
Just a question about in Sukkah. So, like, the case we said, there's shluchei mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, but that's something you could do that while sleeping in the Sukkah at the same place.
So, let's talk about that. That's not necessarily the case. I mean, that the issue in general is one we'll talk about soon. But that statement, I mean, by definition, the shluchim are on the way to somewhere, so the Sukkah is stationary. So it depends, but not necessarily. For the most part, when you're on a trip, Sukkah is one of the harder mitzvahs to do, but we'll talk about that issue in general in a minute. So, as we're saying, this din seems like a pretty reasonable din, right? Also, like mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, can't be expected to be in two places at once. So the problem is, it's so reasonable that's the issue that the Rishonim have. That seems to be not only reasonable, but the only way to see it. Now we know we have a principle that onus rachmana patre, that if I cannot do something, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't hold me responsible, he lets me off the hook. So I can't be two places at once. If I can't do two mitzvahs at the same time, why do I need a Gemara darshaning a pasuk to tell me that I'm not responsible for the other mitzvah? I understand that both logically and from the existing halachic sources of onus rachmana patre. So that's the problem the Rishonim have. Not that the din doesn't make sense, but the din makes too much sense. It seems to be the only way to see things. So why do I need an extra din with a pasuk of ha'osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah? So there are two very different trends in Rishonim to answer that question. And the different approaches really radically redefine the din. You can't even give the same scenarios according to each Rishon because the two approaches really are radically different. To begin with, the Ritva in the Maseches Sukkah. The Ritva assumes that the Davar Pashut, that it's the case we're talking about, that you can't do both at once. You can't be in two places at the same time. So if that's the case, says the Ritva, so what's the Chiddush? So I know I can't be somewhere else at the same time. So why do I need the din of Osik Mitzvah Patana Mitzvah? So says the Ritva, here's the Chiddush. You might think that if I'm involved in one mitzvah, and then another mitzvah comes along, that for whatever reason I like that other mitzvah better. I think that mitzvah is a more important mitzvah, for whatever reason, even though that's a difficult assessment to make. It's what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says. You don't try to evaluate the weight of different mitzvahs. You don't try to say mitzvah kala, mitzvah chamura, because you don't really know matan schar and shal mitzvos. And in that context, the Rambam in his Perish Mishnayis actually says that that's the point, that you don't abandon what you think is a lighter mitzvah in order to involve yourself in a heavier mitzvah. But so let's say I think that the next mitzvah that's presenting itself is more important. So maybe I want to leave the first mitzvah and do the second mitzvah. So says the Ritva, no, you're not allowed to do that. You're not permitted to do that. That's a problem. The second mitzvah becomes a davar shel rishus. That's what happens when you have a situation of osek mitzvah. So it transforms the second mitzvah into an option. And if the second mitzvah is an option, so then it's not just that you're exempt. It's really usur, as the language uses, it's really inappropriate for a person to stop a davar shel mitzvah, to involve himself in a davar shel rishus. That's a bizayin to God. That's not the way to do things. So that says the Ritva, that's the Chiddush of this din, that not only are you exempt or not responsible for the second mitzvah, but it would be forbidden for you to abandon the first mitzvah in order to do the second mitzvah. The other Rishonim actually take a different view. There's a Tosfos that says a little bit like that Ritva also. A Tosfos that says also that it only applies if it's the Efter L'Kayim Shneim. It doesn't spell out the second part about being Usur. It seems to agree with the basic premise. But there are a number of other Rishonim, prominently the Ran in Maseches Sukkah. And there's a number of Tosfos throughout Shas that also seem to take this view, maybe a little more surprising, that, again, the question is, what's the Chiddush? And if I know I can't be in two places at once, why do I need a din to tell me I'm pater from the second mitzvah? So these Rishonim say that that's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that even if it is possible for you to do both, you're still pater from the second mitzvah. So that is a very big Chiddush. That's not only different from the Ritva in answering that question, but it becomes fundamentally different as far as defining the scenarios that we're talking about. So by giving that answer, we're now totally redefining everything about this issue. And there's a lot to be mafalful about within these two positions. So tonight I'd like to just discuss some of the different ways in which we could think about these two positions, because really this is a very fundamental din and it affects the mice all over the place. And there are a lot of very open questions that come out of just trying to figure out what the possibilities are here. So on the one hand, so we have again the view of the Ritva that it's only when it's Yafshel L'Kayim Shneihem and it makes a second mitzvah davar shel rishus. And now you have other Rishonim like the Ran and Tosfos and others saying that no, that even if it's possible to do the second mitzvah, possible to do both at the same time, you're still pater from the second mitzvah. The Or Zeruah writes like this also. The Arzaruah says, even though this is surprising, says that's the Gezeris HaMelech. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared. That's what the Psukim are telling us. When you're chayiv in one mitzvah, you're not chayiv in the second mitzvah. And this is not stam an exotic position. Again, it's the position of a lot of Rishonim, and it's the way the Ramah paskins. And the Ramah says that that's the din, that the Ptur of Osek mitzvah, even when it's Efshel L'Kayim Shneihem. But he adds on that if it's possible to do the second mitzvah without too much tircha, so then heyos tov al tikri ra, that if you have an opportunity to be good, you should take it. So better to do it. But strictly speaking, you'd be pater from the second mitzvah also. That's a fascinating position, and that leaves us with a lot to figure out just about what this means. So first of all, there is a question that a lot of the Rishonim bring up again in this discussion, that wouldn't that then lead you to the conclusion that if you have somebody who's wearing tzitzis or has a mezuzah on his doors, so he's essentially exempt from Kol Torah Kula? because he's mekayim mitzvah by wearing tzitzis or by having a mezuzah. So then he shouldn't have to do anything else. So that's clearly not the case, and Judaism would be a lot easier. So how do you come to that? So there are different approaches. If you say like the Ritva, then you're fine. It's only a case where it's impossible to do both mitzvahs. If you don't say like that, so there are still a number of possibilities. First of all, you could note that the Gemara never actually says that Hamakayim mitzvah, partam and mitzvah. It doesn't just say that any mitzvah point will knock you out of any other mitzvah. It does have a language of Haosek b'mitzvah. So that does suggest, or state, that you have to be involved. There has to be some effort that you're exerting. It may not be all-consuming effort that will make it impossible for you to do anything else, but at least effort that's going to take your attention somewhat. If it mamish doesn't involve anything on your part, you just have the mezuzah on the door and you can forget it's there, so then that's not going to be called Osek b'mitzvah. Another take one could take is, we mentioned before the Gemara about Tirda, where the Gemara says that it sounds like Tirda is what potters you, and the question is, if that's the case, so then maybe we should say a business Tircha or a personal Tircha should also pater you. So the Gemara says, no, it's Tirda de Mitzvah. So one could read that Gemara, and there's some discussion in the Achronim what to take away from that. One could read that Gemara to say that Tirda is the active ingredient in the Ptur of Osek b'Mitzvah. That the reason a person is pater when he's involved in a mitzvah is because the mitzvah distracts him, or that's what's doing it, the distraction from the mitzvah. So most of the time, the distraction from the mitzvah will take place when you're doing the mitzvah. Sometimes you'll have a scenario where a distraction of the mitzvah can take place without the mitzvah happening yet. That's perhaps some of the scenario in the Gemara and Brachos. But if you don't even have that, even if you have the Kiyum mitzvah, but you don't have any type of distraction, you don't have any type of tirda, so maybe there's no p'tur at all. There are some who point out, a sefer called Migdanas Eliyahu that observes that the position that of the Ritva, that you're not allowed to decide you're going to do the other mitzvah, so it sounds like this Gemara Brachas actually contradicts it, because the Gemara tells us that Rabban Gamliel was pater from Kriya Shema when he was a chassan, and he chose not to accept the Torah. He said, I'm not going to stand for this. He says, I won't allow myself to be diverted from Kabbalah Salmach Shemayim even one night. So he said he's going to perform Kriya Shema. So it sounds like from that Gemara that a person can choose to do the other mitzvah. So the Magnus Eliyahu points out that, again, that's a little bit of a different format of Osek mitzvah. That part, not necessarily that he wasn't doing the mitzvah. This is during the time when the tirda, where you might call a type of a hechsher mitzvah, the preparation for the mitzvah, was distracting him. So he's saying, I'll overcome that tirda and I'll be able to perform other mitzvahs. But to say I'll leave the actual act of the mitzvah, maybe there's no raya from that Gemara that's a possibility. It's interesting, there is a view that the Chuvas Chavolim ben Iman, the great Rav from Toronto, as in his Chuvas, brings raya's for this, that even if the second mitzvah is one that you could do al yidei shliach, so you don't necessarily have to bother yourself at all, you can have somebody else do it, you'd still be patur. So it's interesting, because you might think that that's a difficult position to take, because even if you follow the Ritva, so then for sure it seems difficult, because here you have this extra way of doing it where you won't have to stop the first thing, so then that should for sure be called Efshel Lekayim Shnehem. But even according to the Rishonim, who say that Efshel Lekayim Shnehem is still Pater, but here you could do it with no effort, and they all maintain, like the Ramah, that if it's possible for you to do it easily, then you should do it. So why would you say you're Pater even from using a Shliach? So if you think about it, it could mean that the first mitzvah, the mitzvah that paters you, if that mitzvah isn't really occupying you at all, then it's not going to pater you from other mitzvahs. But once you're involved in an initial mitzvah, so that could be a p'tur in general, and even if there's a way for you to mekayim a second mitzvah without adding much effort, it doesn't matter, you might be pater. Now this prompts a question: how do we understand this basic issue between the Ritva and Iran? And again, there's so many different ways to look at this. But one could say as follows, that essentially what the Ritva is saying is that the idea of Osek Mitzvah Patamana Mitzvah is really not what it sounds like. You know, it sounds like you're off the hook, a p'tur. Here's an exemption. But what it really is, maybe, is an obligation. What it's really saying is that the first mitzvah is so dominant that another mitzvah is not an excuse to abandon it. And that really it's a statement not of any type of exemption, it's a statement that makes an impact on the first mitzvah, on the chiyuv of the first mitzvah. So for example, I'm sure you can all relate to this, let's say your mother says, clear up your room, and the mother says, help set the table. And you say, no, I'm learning, I'm pater. So her attitude might be, it's very nice you're learning, but when I tell you to set the table, that's what needs to be done. So the idea being not to say that it's okay you're pater from learning, but the idea she's saying that my command to set the table is so important that it's not a good enough excuse for you to come and say, I'm doing something else. So perhaps that's what the principle means, and again, that's where the Ritva is telling you it's a chiddush, that it's not stam that we're saying you're excused for not being able to do two things at once. We're making a statement about the nature of mitzvot, that the mitzvah is so obligatory that even when you have another mitzvah activity, something else that you might say, well, this is religious too, or this is also an obligation, that's not going to get you off the hook. While the Ran and the other Rishonim do see it as an exemption. That essentially, however you want to interpret this, and there are different ways of formulating this, but essentially you're only mechuyev to be religious in one way at a time. You're not mechuyev to have two mitzvahs in play at the same time. You know, what that means is a lot of discussion about that. But you could read this into the Gemara in Brachos and elsewhere. The Gemara says that v'shev v'sidachu d'machayevus, that when does the Kadosh Baruch Hu command you with mitzvahs? When you're free, when you're doing your own thing. But when you're already involved in Malach HaShemayim, so then you're not up to being instructed with anything else. So it's not a question of whether you could squeeze the two of them in or not. It's that essentially you're already on the job, you're putter from other jobs. And now, in theory, if you could accomplish two, so then he'll say, great, okay, but you're not obligated because you're already assigned. And when you're assigned, you're not obligated to be doing other types of mitzvahs, which is an interesting idea. So there is a discussion among the poskim, and here it's interesting because some of these questions are really kind of open questions, and how you apply the svaras, I think there's a lot of room to see things different ways, and these are questions that are very negei l'maisa. So poskim discuss. So we say a person is patur min hamitzvah. So what does that mean? Does it mean he's just off the hook? We're not going to hold him responsible if he doesn't do it, or does it mean he's really patur in the sense that he is mufka? That we know that pater in different contexts means different things. And sometimes pater means that you don't have to, and sometimes pater means you're not even in the parsha of the mitzvah. It's a complicated concept because we find a lot of different usages of pater. We find that a woman is pater from mitzvah seisha as man grama, and yet she can volunteer to do them, and according to Ashkenazim, she can even make brachas on such mitzvahs. We find that a shota is pater from mitzvos, and that if he does a mitzvah, it doesn't count for anything. You could say you're pater from taking a lulav on Pesach, and it means that it's just worthless. You know, pater can mean many different things in many different contexts, so we don't know exactly what it means in the context of osig mitzvah pater min a mitzvah. Does it mean that you really completely read out of the whole story? Or you're not responsible, but if you do it, matova manai. So here you find different views. The Ramami Panu writes that if somebody is on the way to do a mitzvah, or if, let's say, somebody is learning in the Beis Medrash and he hears another minyan davening, so he's really putter from answering. But if he does, so great, he grabbed two. He says he grabbed two mitzvahs, so he has accomplished both his learning and answering amen. So there it sounds like, in theory, you're off the hook, but if you are able to grab both mitzvahs, so then you've accomplished something. So what does that mean as far as being called a bar chiyuv or not? So it's very complicated. Again, to go back to the model of a shota, the Gemara says clearly that if you have a person who is not mentally capable, so he's exempt from mitzvahs. But what if you have a person who goes in and out? That's a person who's clear sometimes and who's not really there, not really sane other times. So the Gemara says, so then if he fulfills a mitzvah, when he is not in sound mind and body, so then when he comes back to health, he has to do the mitzvah again. The mitzvah is no good. So what about if you fulfill a mitzvah when you're involved in another mitzvah? So this is an extensive discussion among the Achronim. The Mishnah Berurah, for one, in his Shaar Tzion, Right? And then here again, this is why you see this is such a complicated question, the Ge'el HaMaisa. He says, let's say we fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. He says, oh, you're probably Yotze. It's because you're not like a Shota. Because a Shota, the Gavra is a Shota, is not a Chayiv at all. Here, an Oslik mitzvah is Chayiv, just he's exempt. So, as contradictory as that sounds, it's a Bar Chiyuva, but he doesn't have to do it. So, if he chooses to do it, so then it's a mitzvah. So, he's Yotze. So, he can make a bracha? Well, I'm not sure. Mr. Burr said to go that far, I'm not sure. Maybe he can make a bracha, maybe he can't. So, you see, it's a very open suffix. And as far as how it reads within the positions of the Ritva and the Ran, so there's an extensive literature about this, and they all go both ways. They all put it in different positions. I think, it seems to me, and you'll find the Achronim will say the opposite, but it seems to me that the Ritva's position really would leave you to say that you're not Mekayim anything. Because if the Ritva says it's also to do the second mitzvah, The first mitzvah negates the second mitzvah. The second mitzvah is now a davar shel rishus, so it's hard to believe that you can be mekayim any mitzvah by doing that. While if you take the position of the Ran's, like I said, it really sounds more like we're just saying you're off the hook. But in theory, if you can squeeze it in, so then maybe you should be yotze, maybe you should be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. As we alluded to before, part of the problem is you can't even describe the scenario the same way because the situations are so different. So to give an example of this case, so to give a Ran case, you'd have to say it's something like, let's say a person is on a Hatzalah call. So Pesach night, he gets a call that he has to hop in the ambulance and go save somebody's life. So he's technically putter from matzah. But he figures that if he grabs the matzah, he can take it with him. He knows how to drive and eat matzah at the same time. He's not going to lose any speed. He'll be able to run through all the red lights while still eating the matzah. So then the question could come. So now he goes and he comes back. So is he mechuyev to eat matzah again? Or do we say he was yotzei at that time? But according to Ritva, we can't even use that case because the case then apparently is efshel l'kayim shnehem. So you'd have to say the case is totally different. The case is, let's say, it's a sukkos. And there's a sick person on the 10th floor, so he has to stay with the sick person. And he decides, instead, I'll abandon this person for an hour, and I'll go downstairs to the sukkah, and I'll eat a kazayis for bread. So there's a yotzei mitzvah then. You have to describe totally different scenarios, because the whole premise of each rishon is radically different on this case. So there's, again, an extensive discussion in literature, and it impacts on a lot of things. Some point out, there is a Gemara Maseches Zvachim and Daf Yates, which poses the question about whether the Kohanim are wearing the Big Day Kahuna and they're doing the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash, so what's the story as far as Tefillin is concerned? So the Gemara quotes a statement that Kohanim Bavadasan, Vilabim Duchanan, Yisrael Mamadam are all exempt from Tefillin. So the Gemara raises the question, exempt? We should say they're Aser, because the Kohen is not allowed to wear anything extra in the Beis HaMikdash, so if he's going to have the Tefillin on, so it's going to be a Chatzitza. So the conclusion of the Gemara is that actually it is Aser, and the only reason the Gemara doesn't use that phrase is because it's also talking about the Levim and the Israelim in the same breath, so it just says all of them are Pater. But yes, for a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash to wear Tefillin, it would actually be Aser. So the Karen Orer writes over there that there the discussion is, you know, what happens if you decide to do it? Do you say it's a mitzvah at all? Or do you say that it's mamish nothing, it should be a chatzitza? The Ragachavar makes a similar point based on this Gemara, because the Ragachavar poses the question a little bit differently, but it's similar. The whole idea of being putter, so what does that mean? Does it mean you're putter like you don't have any involvement in this mitzvah? It's like a mitzvah that doesn't apply to you? Or a putter in the sense of it's like you did it. Like if you accomplished a mitzvah, so you're putter, so should we say it's like you're wearing tefillin? This is the whole. You have to say like that from this Gemara in Zvachim, because that's the whole premise, that it might not be a chatzitza. Otherwise, it's obviously a chatzitza. If a person is putter from tefillin like it's nothing, so then why would anyone think that a person could strap a box to his head in the middle of the Big Day Kahuna and it wouldn't be a chatzitza? The whole premise is that it is some type of a mitzvah that you're already in fulfillment of. But if you're really putter from the mitzvah, then it would clearly seem to be out of place. So that's part of this discussion. And again, you see a lot going back and forth. Rav Yosef Engel has in one of his svarim, is an interesting idea, that we have a rule that ein osin mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. You shouldn't try to grab two mitzvahs at once. It's what we call sometimes the anti-efficiency principle. that you want to kill two birds with one stone, so we're told you specifically should not. You should go out of your way to not kill two birds with one stone per bird. So why that is, so Rashi says in Masechta Sotah, because you don't want to look like mitzvahs are a pain in the neck, that you try to get as many done as quickly as possible while you're multitasking, but you want to show that there's something that you cherish and that you'll give each one its proper attention. So Rav Yosef Engel has a whole different spin, and he says that the problem is that Osek and Mitzvah Patim and a Mitzvah, so you're involved in one mitzvah, so that makes the other mitzvah into less of a mitzvah. So he says, so if that's the case, so then it's not just a question of Ein Osek Mitzvah Chavilas Chavilas L'Chadchila, it's the second mitzvah is really nothing. So he should say you're not even Yotza the second mitzvah. So he says, well, then you have the Ramah Mipandu and others who say, well, in theory you could grab the two mitzvahs at the same time, and you could be Yotzei, but clearly, since you're putter from the second mitzvah, it's on a lower madrega, whatever it is. So the halacha would be then it's ideal not to do that, because even if you are mekayim two mitzvahs, so maybe the evid is good, but to put yourself in a situation where the second mitzvah is not what it could be, because it's strictly speaking exempt from it, that's where you find the problem. Hi.
But what if you're going to miss the opportunity to do the mitzvah at all?
Right, so if that's the case, so I think he would agree. But when we say Enos Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas, we're usually not talking about that kind of scenario. We're talking about where you're packaging them into one and you don't have them. I think everyone would agree if a choice of nothing or that, at least as far as Chavilas Chavilas are concerned, then you'd be better off doing both. Another very, very practical case where this comes up is the case of being Motzi other people. So let's say you have a Baal Tefillah who's technically Patur Min HaMitzvah. So can he be motzi somebody else who's not patur min hamitzvah? So here the Marachor Zeruah has in his tshuva that yes, he can be motzi others, which again is an interesting statement that what it means to be patur min hamitzvah. Apparently he's saying he's a gavro, he's a bar chiyuva, and that strictly speaking he has a status of being chayiv, he just doesn't have to do it. And he makes two comparisons there, one which is harder to understand than the other. So one is that we have the din of arvus, which means normally, let's say, if I want to make kiddush for somebody else, so even if I was yosei kiddush already, so I can still make kiddush for you. That we don't say, well, since I made kiddush once, so I don't have to make kiddush twice, so therefore I'm patur min hamitzvah, and it's as if I'm not mechuyev in kiddush. So we don't say that. We say a person who is chayev in kiddush in general can be motzi somebody else, that he's not considered to be mufka from the mitzvah. So apparently that's the take that Marach Zeruah has, in which mentioned in the name of the Rogachever, a similar idea, that when it comes to Osik Mitzvah Patan Mitzvah, he's like an individual who's chayiv. It's also similar to the Mishnah Berurah's lashon about matzah. He's a bar chayuva, he just doesn't actually have to do it. But if he does it, so he's still somebody who can be motzi others. Surprising thing is though, the Marach Zeruah also mentions the comparison of Nashim by a mitzvah seisha as man grama. So that's a difficult comparison because there, so yes, again, the view of the Ashkenazi Rishonim, the Ashkenazi Psak after those Rishonim like Rabbeinu Tam, is that women can not only volunteer to do such mitzvot, they can even make brachos of Asher Kedushonim mitzvot of Tzibonim, but they can't be motzi men. So to use that comparison is a little bit difficult because Davka, that example, is one where they're not motzi somebody who is mechuyev. So I have to figure out a little bit why he brings up that model, but it's a part of the discussion. It's a part of the discussion as well. There is another major machlokus that's also very nagel maisa about this, which also draws off these ideas. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you have an onen, and we'll just mention Agav, what exactly the role is of an onen. This discussion is complicated because we know the Mishnah tells us that a person who, Rahman al-Islam, loses a first-degree relative, so before the Levaya, that person is exempt from all mitzvahs. So the Rishonim, based on the Yerushalmi, have different takes on what that p'tur is about, that it may be it's a din and kavod ames, or it may be that it's a type of osek mitzvah, that because you have a mitzvah of kvura, so then you're going to be exempt. So whether this is an example of that category is an open discussion. But in any case, we know that an onen is patur from mitzvahs. So Shulchan Aruch says, if an onen, this is davening, because the slot was when he was in the time of Aninus, so he's not obligated in tashlumin. It's not like one of the cases the Mishnah tells us in the fourth parak of Bracha, somebody misses a tefillah for a valid reason, So he's allowed to make it up the next time, or he's obligated to make it up the next time. So that obligation doesn't apply to an onen, because he is simply not mechuyev from the tefillah, so he doesn't have to make it up later. So the Taz quotes from the Prisha. The Prisha says that that's the same story. A person is also like mitzvah, patim, and a mitzvah. So he's also pater from making it up. So a person has a hatzalah call all morning. He misses shacharis. When he comes back, it's already the afternoon. You say you don't have to make up the Shemoneh Esrei. You don't have to daven twice at Mincha, because it's not that you had a good excuse to miss shacharis, but you didn't have an obligation of shacharis to begin with. And the Taz disagrees. The Taz says, no, that can't be. That the Gemara already says a person is honest, a person who is unable to fulfill a mitzvah. So that's what we call a good excuse. We let you make it up later. So this is another case of a good excuse. So you run the Hatzalah call, that was a good excuse. You should be able to make it up later. And again, the preacher says, no, it's not even a good excuse. It's such a good excuse. You're not even mechuyev to begin with. So here again, you have a fundamental question of what is the nature of the ptur. Is it that you're completely not part of the mitzvah? Or it's that you have a good excuse, and that can, that we'll take that excuse. We accept your note, but you still have to come take the makeup. That's important. And before I take a question, it's also again not clear how we paskin on this issue. Again, there's so many issues that are in a gay lemaisa here that are still open. So what exactly is a psak on that? So it's not clear. The Tshuvas Cheshiv Eifor, who's a Chashva Dayan from London, of Chanach Padua, has in his Tshuvas that he found in the Rivash, that he has a raya from the Rivash, that you do have to daven again. He says the Rivash only has a shayla, if you have to say Ashrei again, but he says there is a Tashlumin for somebody who is Osig B'Tzarchi Tzibur, Osig B'Mitzvah. And others aren't so sure. I was discussing this once with Rabbi Sobolovsky, and Rabbi Sobolovsky thought that the raya is all the mothers of children. The mothers of children would be davening hundreds of tashlumins all the time, because they miss tefillah regularly because they're taking care of the kids, and no one holds them accountable to make them up. So if you felt that somebody who's also a mitzvah is mechuyev to do tashlumin later, so all the mothers with little children would be davening tashlumin like crazy. So it doesn't seem to be the case. So apparently we assume that a person who's also a mitzvah is really actually exempt. So what do you do, lemaisa? Again, it's an open question a little bit. But when it comes to a lot of these sfeikas in tefillah, so the premise should be that safek tefillah lahakel, that if we're not sure if you're mechuyev, so it's a din derabbanan, so we say safek derabbanan lahakel, you shouldn't have an obligation to do it again. So that is the default, except that the Gemara also says in Brachos that there's a concept of a tefillah nedava, that halavai shi'espal adam kol yom kulo, that we, Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says, it would be wonderful if people would daven all day. So the Rishonim say, based on that, there is this concept of nedava, that even though there's a set tefillos every day, you also have the opportunity to volunteer an extra tefillah. So you have a big final the next day, or you want to be very grateful about something that happened, you passed the final, so you could volunteer to have this optional tefillah. So it's a question whether or not we do that nowadays. Machlokes between the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, whether or not we actually have nedavas nowadays. Because the Shulchan Aruch, if you read the way the Shulchan Aruch describes the tefillas nedava, he says you have to have massive, unbelievable kavana. And if you're not capable of working up that much kavana, so better you should leave it alone, and that you should be happy enough with the three tefillas a day that you're obligated in. So whether or not we think anybody nowadays on a madrega to start adding extra tefillas is unclear. But there is a tradition in Poskim that we do use it for this case. If you have a case where you're not sure if you have to daven, so suffik, whether you're obligated in tefillah. So even though you could say suffik to Rabbanan l'hakel, that we could then say forget about it, but because there's an option of the dava, so then we say take the option of the dava rather than exempting yourself from tefillah. And even though, as the Rishonim also say, there's normally an obligation when daven is filled in davar that you have to add something new. It's tzarech l'chadosh bo davar. You have to create a chiddush, some extra tefillah or something inside of it. So the Rishonim also say that when you're davening to get out of the suffix, that itself serves as a chiddush. So the idea of davening to take care of a suffix situation, that helps. So if that's the case, so you're osik b'mitzvah, so that's what some recommend. They were not really sure what the psak is, so on the one hand, Safek Drabana Lahak, on the other hand, though, you have the opportunity to be no David Tfila, so you could do that. And you could throw in an extra complication, that there are those who say that you can't do this on Shabbos, because there's no Korban Nadav on Shabbos, and maybe there's no Tfilas Nadav on Shabbos. But then there are those who argue on that, and say, no, there's no Korban Nadav on Shabbos, because that would involve doing malachas. You'd have to do things that you're not really obligated in, so we can't, the only Korban you can bring on Shabbos is a Korban Sibor Zmano Kavua, that you're a Mechiv to actually do on Shabbos. But an extra tefillah doesn't involve any malachas, so there's no reason to say there shouldn't be a tefillah nedava on Shabbos. So that's an additional question. So there's a lot of svekas, lagabi svekas, lagabi svekas, and how exactly to practice a specific day. Hi. Thank God, doing well.
A little extraneous, but would a nedava have a zman, or you would be able to have a
zman? Sounds like you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Not on Shabbos, maybe.
Except, right, it's possibly not on Shabbos. Yeah.
The same achlokas that we're having on Onus Osim Min Mitzvah is also by Onus Rachmana Patre.
So that's not necessarily the case. It's interesting because there are questions you could ask about that which may parallel. So, for example, without getting into it in detail, Rabbi Zvengel has a chashuv piece on this, but when we talk about Onus Rachmana Patre, so the question is, what does that mean? Does that mean you're off the hook? Or does that mean, not just you're off the hook, but it's as if you did it, that will give you credit for the mitzvah that you couldn't do because you wanted to, but you couldn't. So here you have that same question then. When we say you're pater from the other mitzvah, is it that you're just pater, but nebuch, you don't do it, but we just don't blame you for that, but you don't have any credit? Or is it like you're mekayim the other mitzvah, you're somehow getting credit for both mitzvahs actively? So that definition does affect this. So understanding what the din is by onus is could affect this. But you could also say, being mefalpel again in the Ritva, that maybe that's the point, that maybe the Ritva is saying, well, why do I need to know you're putter from another mitzvah if we already have a principle that you can't be expected to be in two places at once? Well, maybe it's davka that they're different. Maybe that onus will just mean, okay, we won't hold you responsible for doing the second thing. But osik per mitzvah will take it further. Osik mitzvah will mean that it's as if you did both. That's there are those, some who understand the Dvar Yehoshua, Rav Shua Menachem Ehrenberg, and his Chuvas. He has a whole drasha there about how the whole idea of Osim Mitzvah Patam and a Mitzvah is that there's a certain spiritual protection that comes from being involved in a mitzvah. Like we said before, you don't have to be religious that much. So when you already have the spiritual protection from one mitzvah, so then there's no need to have another mitzvah on top of it. And he says, based on that he paskins as far as the tefillah question, that therefore you're just pater from the other tefillah because you're already in this status of mitzvah, so you don't have an obligation to have other mitzvahs going on, and there's nothing to make up later. Can't stay too late, so just mention that there are a number of other svekas that you find that, just to go through some of them very quickly, that there are a lot of different categories of mitzvos where you find that the Achronim are asking whether or not the rule of Osi Mitzvah applies. Question alluded to before, if the second mitzvah is somehow clearly bigger, Mitzvah Chamura, again, what that means is a little bit of a discussion. What if the mitzvah that you're involved with is a Mitzvah Kala? Again, not clear what that means, but there are certain things that seem to be of a lesser status. What if the Mitzvah Derabbanan? A whole slew of Achronim get involved in that question. They say a Mitzvah Derabbanan will pater you from a Mitzvah Deraisa. What if it's a Hechsher Mitzvah? What if it's a Mitzvah Kiyumis? And what if the Mitzvah you're not really obligated in? And the Sivis maintains it doesn't pater you from Mitzvahs. It says if you're a Mitzvah that's not your responsibility, but you choose to do it, so maybe it doesn't pater you from other Mitzvahs. What if the mitzvah shen shavu'ah l'kol? Are there some types of categories that knock a mitzvah down a little bit so that you're not going to be exempt from other mitzvahs? So a lot of this could have to do, again, with some of the same fundamental questions. And how do we read the Ikra Drush in the Gemara? Do we say the b'shevas didach, that basically you're only obligated to mitzvahs if you're on your own time, if you're doing your own thing, so then you have a v'chi of a mitzvahs. But if it's some type of melech ha-shamayim, then you'd be pater. Maybe regardless, even if it's just a mitzvah derabanan, even if it's a hechsher mitzvah, even if it's a mitzvah kala, whatever it is, if you're involved in God's work, then you don't have to do other things. Or is there some type of calculation here that it's not really that's the case, but that it's essentially that you can't be expected to be two places at once. But maybe if the first place is not that much of a chiyuv, maybe then this balance would somehow be tilted. Hi.
I know it's another topic, but if mitzvahs per sumei nisa are over everything,
mm-hmm. even so, even for this? Yes, let me talk about that. Actually, so there is something that's relevant to that. I'll just, again, mention two more points quickly. That there is also a view that you find in some of the later Sfarim. And someone has told me that I think Rav Shechter holds like this in Maisa. Could check with him. That Osek B'mitzvah doesn't pater you from a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveru. So if you're involved in a mitzvah ben adam l'makom, that wouldn't necessarily exempt you if the other mitzvah is a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveru. So that could be based on what I think you're getting at, that there is a yesod that the Achronim have, the Avnei Nezer has this, and the Chacham Tzvi also has this in the Tshuva as well, that there is a difference between Ben Adam L'Chaveros and Ben Adam L'Lokom, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give you credit for what you wanted to do. He knows you can't be two places at once. You can say, okay, so you're involved in the first mitzvah, I'll give you credit for the second mitzvah. Whatever that means. Either I'll let you off the hook or I'll give you credit, whichever alumnus it is. But when it comes to a mitzvah Ben Adam L'Chaveros, you have a human being who needs to be fed, who needs to be saved, who needs to be attended to. So he can't say, well, I'll pater you because you have the first mitzvah. His needs will still be there. So therefore, that becomes the overriding concern. So that might not be subject to osik mitzvah patim and mitzvah. And that is, I think, what you're getting at. The Avnei Zer says that's also pshat in Pursumei Nisa. That's why we find certain makoros that treat Pursumei Nisa differently than other mitzvahs, even more chamer than mitzvahs min haTorah. So it could be the same idea that Pursumei Nisa is about connecting with another person. So that person needs to be connected with, and it doesn't help that you wanted to, but you were busy somewhere else. So there could be you could say there's a raya from a Gemara against this. And this is one of the fundamental sources, so it's important to mention this. This also impacts greatly on the whole definition of mitzvah seisha, of osik mitzvah patim and mitzvah. The Gemara in Maseches Bava Kamma, in Perek HaKones, tells us the din of Pruta the Rav Yosef. And the Gemara says that if a person is watching lost property, so the Gemara has a question, what's his obligation? He's obligated to watch the property, so he's a shomer. So what does that make him? So it sounds like he's a shomer chinam. Right? No one's paying him, so he should have the responsibility of a shomer chinam, somebody who watches for free. But the assumption is that's not the case, that he's actually a shomer sacher, that it's if he's getting paid. So who's paying him? So the Gemara has two answers. One answer is that it's Rachmana Meshabdei, whatever that means, that the Torah was Meshavet him, so whether you want to say it's the Schar Mitzvah, or no, it's not really the Schar, but the Torah just committed him to that level of obligation, as if he is being paid. But the other answer is the Pruta de Rav Yosef concept. And the Pruta de Rav Yosef idea is that when you're involved in a mitzvah, you're actually profiting monetarily in a very roundabout way, because if somebody's going to come and ask you for a donation at that time, somebody will ask you for tzedakah, so you'll be pater, because you're also a mitzvah pater and a mitzvah, so you'll save the money that you would have given for tzedakah because you're not mechuyev to do it. So there's a lot of discussion in the Rishonim about this Gemara, because on the one hand, this Gemara kind of sounds like that you are pater for mitzvah even if you're not that involved, because Shomer Aveda, what's he doing? Shomer Aveda just has the stuff in his closet.